Calling all benders and non-benders alike, dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do it, y'all! Thank God it's... Yeah! Here it goes! Do it with me! Thank God it's... Oh! Yeah! It's Friday, people! It's Friday, my dudes and my dudettes. And the Rod Brown Show is ready to get weird and to have a little fun for the next 4 hours of your, my, our lives. People, let's get it. I am Rob Brown, the great Milonzo on the other side of the metaphorical glass, in charge of this and every radio program that you ever heard and enjoyed. If you didn't enjoy it, he didn't work on that one. If you finished and you went, damn, Delilah's on fire tonight. Lonzo was running that show. That's how good he is. We're glad to have you. I'm in a weird spot because on one hand, exhausted. On the other hand, hashtag worth it. Stayed up. I hope not yet. I haven't done anything worth it yet that I'm aware of, buddy. But I got to tell you, despite the fact that, and I do wonder if there was anybody in the production truck that did the old Captain Kirk facepalm. I loved the end of that game last night. 34-7 Chargers win over the Lions. Preseason scores. Games.
Watched the second half this morning. Saw all the things that you're about to talk about this morning fresh in my mind.
Preseason scores don't matter. Games do. We have seen 0-4 teams be very good in the regular season. We have seen 4-0 preseason teams be very bad. If I recall correctly, the 0-16 Lions were 4-0 that year in the preseason. Preseason scores don't matter. That, Chris Collinsworth, is different than preseason games don't matter. They do. How much do they matter? I think Trey Lance may have earned a job last night. Former third overall selection to the San Francisco 49ers, Trey Lance, got traded to the Dallas Cowboys from the 49ers, Trey Lance. A cat that we kind of thought was going to end up being, and he still may be, as he has had through, what's it been, 4 seasons in the NFL after being the third overall selection. I believe he started 5 games, which is the fewest of any quarterback selected inside of the top 5 picks.
Slow down, dude. Slow down. I mean, he was out there with a bunch. He has NFL experience going up against a bunch of guys who do not. Out there, their first chance to be in the show. Don't know if it's their only chance to be in the show. Nerves, everything. He was calm. Did he look good? Yeah, but he looked good against that competition.
Sure, and I think one of the points that got...
I don't think Detroit played like any starters at all, so...
One of the points that got made was exactly that. I don't think the Lions started a day one starter on defense last night. So, it's on one hand, this is what drives narratives. Because it is fair to wake up this morning.
His passes were pretty, though. They
passes
were.
Look great.
Yeah, they did.
It is fair to wake up this morning if you are a Chargers fan, if you're Jim Harbaugh, and go, all right, they left Trey Lance out there for a pretty long time. Played the entire first half, played a good chunk of the third quarter before they turned it over to Uiagalelei. Former Clemson Tiger turned Oregon State Beaver turned Florida State Seminole.
And then did he get hurt? Oh, I'm sorry. I was waiting for the part where he got benched or hurt or something.
No, DJ.
I don't remember what happened at Florida State, but he didn't finish the season, right? Yeah, so that's
it. Did not go well.
Yeah.
It did not go well. DJ Uiagalelei came in, threw three passes, went 2 of 3. Like, okay. You know, I don't think we got enough to say anything. I will say this. He had, of the three passes that he threw, two of them, short and medium yardage, two of them were dots. Two of them, I'm like, all right, he's under pressure. He's getting away from guys. He dropped the dot. There would be, and I mean this, and I do not think this is going to happen. But would the funniest possible thing not be DJ Uiagalelei going on to be an NFL stud? Would that not be the funniest thing to happen in a long time?
It'd be great for him. When they showed the comparison of record per school, all I could think of is Clemson a system. Is that why he did so well at Clemson? Was Clemson a system? Should he have stayed in that system?
I also would say,
is Georgia a system? We're about to find out. Yeah.
I think a lot of people, when you say, is that why he did so well at Clemson, would chuckle a wee bit.
Did you see the record?
Yeah.
His Clemson record, when they threw that Clemson record up there?
It wasn't awful.
That was a great record for a lot of people.
I think after the journey that DJ Uiagalelei went on during college, though, I think the funniest possible outcome would be this cat going on, winning a job, and just like becoming a dude down the line. Now, it won't be with the Chargers, because if you believe Jim Harbaugh, they got their guy in Justin Herbert. Which, by the way, I guess it's a stat chart the other day, about the comparison of, and let's emphasize this, regular season stats of Justin Herbert, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady through their first 3 years as full-time starters. And he's got better numbers through his first three seasons in the regular season than Brady and Manning do. He's obviously not going to be Brady or Manning, or at least he hasn't shown that yet. We're very early. But this is why the preseason is interesting, because you've got that story going on. Now you got Trey Lance looking kind of like a dude last night, but Trey Lance looking like a dude against the Lions 2s and 3s in the first half. Here is all I know. All I know is the wife and I were sitting on the couch last night, and we have been watching the last two nights, three nights, I guess. We've been watching the last three nights the documentaries on Netflix about Epstein and all the people in his circle, because we're not going to bring it on the air, but it's kind of a thing happening in the world right now. And so we've been watching the documentaries the last two nights, because we're big documentary. There's two things we love: documentaries and watching birds. That's our thing. And so,
hold on.
We had a goldfinch at our feeder last night. We stopped the day to go look at this thing. I took a picture of it. You want to see it? It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Okay.
Look at that. Look at that goldfinch on our feeder. They're exceptionally rare, because goldfinches, they have a specific type of feeder they like, because their beak is shaped a certain way. And so regular bird feeders are kind of tough for them to eat out of. Goldfinches, there's actually a specific type of bird feeder for goldfinches that they prefer to eat out of. So it's really, really rare to see a goldfinch show up at your regular bird feeder unless you put out one specifically for them. But they're also birds, because they are super bright yellow. The males are, anyway. The females are a little more drab. The males stand out so much that they don't really like to be out in big open areas all that much either, because they're easy prey for larger birds, hawks, falcons, whatever. They can see them a lot easier than other birds that are a little more camouflaged. So it's very, very rare to get a goldfinch at your feeder. We were watching the doc yesterday. A goldfinch showed up, and we were like, whoa, push pause. Well, we didn't yell it, because the feeder's right by the window, and you don't want to disturb the goldfinch if you get an opportunity to see one that close up. Like, it's a very rare thing. So we were like, whoosh, stop the doc. And she's like, why are we stopping the doc? And I'm like, stop the doc. She pushes pause, and I'm like, look at the bird feeder. And she's like, oh, man, what? We don't see those. And I'm like, I know. So then we're just creeping up to the window to go get it. And I got a picture of this goldfinch. It's beautiful. I'll post it online, because I have to imagine that literally every one of you listening right now is super interested in what I'm saying. Stop it. Stop it. Because I posted a picture of this on my Instagram. And I got four people that responded. They were like, dude, I'm a bird feeder guy too.
They're all members of the ornithological society.
I'll tell you right now, if there's a bird club out there that's interested in Tune Moo members, my wife and I are very interested.
I think there's a bird club you're already part of. And it requires the entire flock. I'm just saying.
Keith and TR just texted and says, Target has a birdhouse/feeder with a camera on it. Just FYI. Keith, I know that. Do you know how I know that, Keith? Because we own one.
Ooh.
I know. We haven't set it up yet. I'm really excited because with this window.
Aren't you sad that you didn't have it set up? Because you could have gotten close-up pictures of the goldfinch.
Goldfinch wouldn't have come to that feeder. Because it's got a deeper bowl on it. Because that way the birds have to like land and kind of get up close. Because you want that webcam on them. This one is really dope in that it's got a motion detector on it. It hooks up to your phone and your Wi-Fi. So if something lands on the feeder, it sends a push alert to your phone, so you can log in and you can like watch it while it's right there. We haven't set it up yet, but we're really dumb excited. I went the other day and I bought like a $51 bag of birdseed because it's the premium stuff.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
It's
right.
The premium stuff.
They're attracted to the premium stuff, like most
all right,
people
are,
I suppose.
So jokes aside.
Hey, look, Ryan Day is playing tennis.
It's not really a joke because this actually happened. But jokes aside, we're sitting on the couch last night and we're watching the Epstein docs, and it gets to be about, damn, he's got a serve on him.
I mean, come on. He's,
that was a rip,
he
bro.
Is, he's not. I mean, he's in kind of stocky shape.
Yeah, but
you
I mean.
You quit showing Reese because Reese is not in shape, and he's been wearing shirts that show you that
wait,
he's not.
Wait.
Look at him.
If Reese is not in shape, you and me are effed, buddy.
By the way, I already know that I'm not in shape. Duh, look at the screen. Or just look across. I'm just saying the shirts that Reese has been wearing lately, it's a bad move. That's all I'm saying. And Ryan Day wearing
I'm
the
getting
V-neck.
I'm getting away
Stop
from
with
that.
The V-neck.
I'm going to get away from that because you saying Reese isn't in shape is going to infuriate me
more
than
look
anything
at,
else.
Look at them. They're sagging, dude. I mean, come
the
on.
The guy's got to be 56 years old.
Yeah, me too. So.
What are you expecting him to go up there and make him pop?
No, I expect to be to
it looks
wear,
good.
Wear a darker shirt.
I hope I wish I look like that now. I was going to say,
you
I hope I look like that at
that
age.
Now.
How about
so,
I look like that now?
You already do. So
all right, so we stop the doc and we watch the bird and then we start the doc again. And then in one of my simultaneously most proud of my wife and myself moments of elation I've had in a long time. We're sitting on the couch. I'm kind of just like, you know, watching the stock, checking out what's happening in the sports world, getting ready for the show because I know once the game starts, show prep's over for the night. And so we're kind of getting to like a kind of a pivotal moment in this doc. There's two of them. There's one about Epstein and there's one about Ghislaine Maxwell.
Murray
and
Pobit.
So we finished the Epstein one, which is like episodic, and we get to the Ghislaine Maxwell one, and that one's like an hour 40 minutes one shot, and we're like an hour in and we get to this like really pivotal moment in the story about what happened around her, and she stops it and I'm like, what are you doing? And she goes, it's 10 till 8, it's football time. And y'all, when I tell you there are moments in any romance, I think, that you kind of have that rebirth of your love and affection for each other, you know? Like you have those, and it wasn't, I mean, it wasn't not this, but like it wasn't even about this. It wasn't not about this, but it wasn't not about this.
You
There's
can have
these,
this music and it be just about affection.
Yeah, for sure. When you hear slow jam with a saxophone in the back, what I think is emotion. I do think emotion, but it's just one particular one. So she goes, it's 10 till 8. It's football time. And I was like, oh, you know, game kicks off at 8. And she goes, aren't we going to watch pregame? And when I tell you, When I tell you I thought I heard some Barry White echoing in the back of my brain somewhere, when she said, yeah, but like, aren't we going to watch some pregame? I was like,
see, I was right.
I've never loved you so much.
And then you just criticized me for throwing out that music, and it was perfect. I understood where you were going, and then fine.
No, you weren't. I just wanted to make a Barry White joke. No, she goes, aren't you going to, for the record, she didn't really want to watch the pregame. Or the preseason game. She didn't care. She's like, it's preseason. She's like, hit me up when the Saints play. I'm like, word, for sure, Sunday, next Sunday. I'll see you there. But she goes, I know you want to watch preseason. So I went in the Bro Cave. I turned on the TV. I sat down. Because I'm an adult, I air fried myself some chicken nuggets.
So she gave you time to prepare your snacks before you headed
100%
in to work.
100%.
I mean, that's awesome.
100%. She said, and I said, if you want to keep watching the doc, I'll get it. I'll catch up tomorrow. She's like, no, yeah, I'll wait for you tomorrow. She goes, but I know you want to watch some preseason. Go enjoy the game.
You also don't exactly have a history of catching up on things. So, I mean.
Well, if her and I are watching something together, okay. It goes right to the top of the priority list. And if it's something that, like, we have a hard time getting on the same page, we will watch separately, but we'll let each other know where we are. Like, hey, FYI, I watched an episode last night. I'll wait for you to get caught up. So I would have been happy to hold off and, like, let her pull it. I'd have got caught up, whatever. But she goes, no. I know this is, like, a thing. Go watch your pregame. Go watch your preseason. We'll finish it tomorrow. And I was like, it's a date. I love nothing more. I forgot that I am also hosting BetMGM tonight. So, no, we won't. We'll catch it up tomorrow. But, like, whatever. The point is, preseason football last night, and it was awesome.
All right. They just showed a Sonic Pickle Slush. You want to do it?
Not really.
It's tangy blend.
A tangy blend
of pickle juice and lime.
I like pickles, but I like pickles. I don't like pickles enough that I would drink a pickle. Yeah, I don't like it that much.
But it's topped with Grillo pickles.
I don't care.
Pickle juice flavored bubbles.
I don't care. I like pickles. I will snack on pickles. I don't like pickles enough that I'm going to replace my Route 44 with a pickle slushy. Not happening. Never happening. All right. By the way, the point of all of that I was ultimately going to get to there is that we're in the fourth quarter. Chargers are beating up on the Lions. Reserves. It's not going great for Detroit. By the way, I love Dan Campbell. They showed Dan Campbell in the fourth quarter. He looks furious.
He does.
He looks furious.
He's not happy.
No, yeah. He looks furious. So the Collinsworth doing anything he can to save what honestly was a pretty entertaining broadcast. I love the interviews with the Hall of Famers, especially Jared Allen, one of my favorite players of all time. I love the interviews with all the guys that got in this year.
Sterling Sharp rocking the Gamecock pants. Yep. I don't know if you noticed that.
Sterling looked great. He was fun to listen to. And something we're going to talk about coming up in a few minutes, we got our first look at the Hawkeye measurement tech in the game. Yes, we are going to spend a bit of time on that this AM. But the part that stuck out to me, we're in the fourth quarter, Chargers beating the hell up on the Lions. Whoever the Lions had in is their third QB of the night throws a pick. It's like the fifth turnover of the night. And Collinsworth, when old what's-his-face says, well, this one, you know, a little bit out of hand, but hey, you know, what are you going to do? It's you never know. Some of these guys aren't going to be on the team. Collinsworth goes, yeah, you know, preseason games don't matter. I'm like, dude, shut up. Preseason scores don't matter. Preseason games absolutely do. I bet if you put the camera right now on Dan Campbell and Jim Harbaugh and you said, hey, does this matter? I bet they're both going to be like, yeah, dude, like a lot.
Aren't
this
you
matters like
normally
a
Collinsworth defender?
I am not at... Not a defender. I'm just not as anti-Collinsworth as a lot of other people do. But
he's not aged well as far as his job goes.
I don't have the problem with Chris Collinsworth that a lot of other people do. I did last night go, wait, my guy. You're calling a preseason game, and you're saying preseason games don't matter. Are you saying that your job right now doesn't, like, that doesn't seem like the right move to make when you're on the mic doing the thing, Christopher. Not the spot. Preseason scores don't matter. Preseason games do. All right, we'll talk about what happened last night. Specifically, our first look at NFL Hawkeye measurement, first down, goal line, whatever, technology. Because I think if you saw it last night and you're still against it, you're wrong. But that's just me. I'm Rob. He's Lonzo. The Rob Brown Show is on your radio. 4 hours of absolute gas. Start right now on the Fan Upstate.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike, dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Up State. It is Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. There it is. I needed it in my life. I needed it in my life. And now we have it in my life. And I feel like a better person for it. I'm Rob Brown. He is Lonzo, reacting to last night's NFL Hall of Fame game. Our first game back for the 2025 NFL season. There are a few things that I want to talk about from the game last night. The primary one, and that's the reason I'm not going to talk about it right now. I'm going to save it for the 7 o'clock hour. Make sure you stick around for that. Is we got our first look at the NFL's new Hawkeye measurement system. You know what? I'm going to talk about it in the 7 o'clock hour. What's your problem with it? Sincerely. Stop hitting the buzzer. What's your problem with it? What was wrong with it? It took 30 seconds.
The game stopped. No one knew what to do. They should. Collinsworth is in the middle of the story, and he's like, and he's just, it just stopped. And then they showed the people on the sidelines. They didn't know what to do. Then suddenly we see a video game picture of the first down. Wow. If this happens during a game, this is going to slow the game down so much. Not only that, I mean, I hate that I'm saying this, put some music behind it. I mean, because all
the Jeopardy theme behind it.
No, because all the noise stopped. It's just like silence.
So
as they showed the thing.
So sincerely, is your problem with it presentation? Like, is that the thing?
Presentation
you took away from
is definitely part of it for sure. The other thing is it just stopped the game and people didn't know what was going on. And the fact that the cameraman knew, the director who told them, hey, pan to this. Showing the sidelines, they had no idea. It was like, what is going on? At least with a measurement or something like that. You see people going out there and doing something. In this case, you're just standing around waiting for the computer. And I think maybe eventually people get used to it, but for now, it's just a lot of confusion. And I think it's going to hurt, unless they add some production value, it's going to hurt the game overall to watch. And that will make it go away really fast if people start complaining.
So I'm still going to talk about it in the 7 o'clock.
I knew right away, Rob is loving every second of it. As boring and as silent as it is, he's going, see, and probably pointing at the screen and maybe even jumping up and cheering a little bit.
I didn't jump up and cheer, but that's because I had a glass of bourbon in my hand and I can't spill that. I broke out the good stuff too. I brought out the good stuff. I got a bottle from Charleston Distillery.
So you're telling me
a red wine
that
barrel
you don't
aged.
Know how to jump up and cheer while holding a beverage?
No,
I don't believe that.
No, I very
don't.
Much do, but I wasn't gonna risk it in that. Plus, I was also like lean back in the game chair, was comfortable. Here's the only response I have from this, because I sincerely do want to come back to this in the next hour of the show in the money hour.
By the way, next hour's show, my you're not going to change my mind by then, or probably ever.
I don't expect to. What I do expect is that I'm going to make a damn good argument anyway. All right. I'll say this one thing and then we will come back and we will, along with you all, the Armada, genuinely discuss and debate last night's Hawkeye measurement that we got to see for the first time. I would, and I've said this before, and I'll say it again and again and again and again and again and again. I care more about getting a call right than I care about it being presented dramatically. Well, when the old school measurement system, aka the chain gang, aka a system so inaccurate that we used to make commercials about it as comedy, And you all know the commercial. I'm sorry. I can't tell you what that commercial was about, but I can remember very much the commercial where the chain gang comes out and they set the sticks down and the referee walks out and he turns on his mic and he's like, after measurement on the play in a system, which, and then he just goes on a spiel about how you all know that the concept of the chain gang is kind of dumb. When a guy runs into the mist of a scrum and he disappears in there and then the play is blown dead, nobody knows where the hell the football is. And the referee just goes, here looks good. Now, for two football seasons a long time ago, I refereed high school football. It was I had nothing to do. I wasn't dating anybody. My show was on in the daytime. I was like, whatever, I'll ref some football. That'd be fun. Good way to stay in the game. So I did. And the first assignment I had, it was JV football, but shut up. The first assignment I had was as a side judge. You know, the guy that runs with the ball carrier down the sideline, the guy that runs in and marks the spot. And I got to tell you, when a ball goes in the scrum, you can do your gosh darndest and you've got the best seat in the house. You can't tell where the ball is when a guy stops. If we have tech to see where that is, yes, these games have 40 seconds or more. Unless the team's in a hurry up or it's inside the 2-minute drill, in the overwhelming majority of a football game, you get one snap a minute. One snap a minute. So delaying the game literally 35 seconds, which is less time than it is from snap to snap.
Referee timeout. You're taking a referee timeout to measure, so it's however long it takes. It has nothing to do with 40 seconds on the clock, 30 seconds on the clock. When a referee takes a timeout, which this would be, it will take as long as it takes.
It took, last night, about 35 seconds. Because I knew this was going to be a thing.
It was an eternity.
You know how? I know it was. No, it wasn't.
It was.
No, it wasn't. It was an eternity. And I know it was a thing. Because
and also, I'm seeing it because we're talking about it, so suddenly it's just popping up on my feed. I'm like, okay, was that a first down or not? I don't remember which way they were going. So it's not showing where, I mean, it's showing the line, showing the ball, but were they going that way or were they going this way? I don't know because all I see is the ball on the field. If I could see the field, I would know which direction they were going. And
the play was 8 seconds ago. You forgot already.
Absolutely, I did because I'm elderly.
Well, that sounds like an on-you thing, not an on-them thing.
It's not just me. They zoom in, and you have no idea which way they're going. So it's like, is that a first down? Is that not a
first down? Still sounds like an on-you thing.
Okay.
It sounds like a you problem.
It's not just me. I've seen others.
So who last night was like, I don't know which way the ball's going? The play just happened.
I don't know everybody. People are talking about this, so I don't know. Hey, random guy on the street, did you watch last night? I'm not doing that. You might do that, but I'm not.
So, well, I mean, that's kind of what the show is.
I mean, we're doing that now, yeah, but exactly. I'm talking about walking down the street.
I knew
that. Did you
ask
your guy at the gas station this morning? Hey, guy at the gas station.
No, I did not. I should have. I knew that one of the arguments was going to be, it takes so long to slow the game down. And I know that because that was an argument about ABS during the preseason. Guys getting online and going, who's slowing the game down? It's taking forever. When we got to the end of preseason, and I said, the average time for an ABS challenge was 17 seconds. That is less time than is on the pitch clock. There was less time from the catch to the challenge to the review to the replay on the screen back to the pitch clock. There was less time than the pitch clock. Last night, it probably felt longer to a lot of people than it actually took because you were super locked in from the moment that Tirico and Collinsworth pointed out what happened. And yeah, people didn't know what was happening because it was literally the first time that's ever happened. Literally the first time the NFL has stopped an NFL game to do a thing. Of course it was weird. Of course it felt like it took forever because we were all like, okay, what now? Okay, what now? Now what? What's the referee doing? Are we getting the, like as a tennis, I don't want to say I'm like a big tennis guy, but you know, I watched the Wimbledon finals, the French Open finals, the US Open finals, might be going to the US Open this year. As a guy who watches like the quarter, semis and finals of the majors, not a big tennis guy, but follow it enough that I watch enough tennis. The Hawkeye challenges in tennis, if you see one for the first time, they stand out because there have been, up until soccer kind of joined the fold a couple of years ago, that was really kind of the first sport that didn't just embrace it, but it literally just became a part of the game. It's just something we do now. Remember when last year we did the new kickoffs, right? The new kickoff rules. We got the landing zone and you can't move until the ball is caught, and there's that, we got the new kickoff rules adopted from the spring leagues. And for the first, I don't know, three games, we were all like, oh, this is weird. It's going to take some getting used to. It's new to the game. It looks funny. We're all kind of trying to figure out, like, what's going to happen next and how it works and all that. And by week three of the season last year, we never talked about it again. We talked about it going into the season at length. We talked about it for the first week or two. Hey, did y'all see the new kickoffs? Like, hey, it was kind of weird, right? Or one as bad as I thought. Or I hate it and it sucks and we should get rid of it. Or whatever. It was a big discussion point until like week three. And did you hear anybody talk about it after that? If there is one guy on the face of the planet that I would expect to have kept that conversation alive, it is, and I love him dearly, it's Diesel. Diesel loves, and I'm good with this because I'm a business of sports guy. I'm fascinated. I know it's not compelling radio. I bring it up when it's impactful. But I love the concept of the business of sports. Diesel loves talking about sports on TV. What's getting ratings, what's not, what's working, what's not, how it's impacting viewership. This league's up, that league's down. Here's the reaction, here's the result, whatever. He loves it, and that's fine. It is kind of a big deal. So if there was one person that I would have expected to be talking about the kickoff late in the season, it's Diesel. Because I think he would have had the take of either, hey, it doesn't impact the game as much as I thought it was, and who cares about viewership, it's going to be fun, or this is taken away from the game, it removes an exciting play, whatever. Nobody, even Hate, was talking about the kickoff. It's going to be the same thing with this. It's going to be shocking because it's the first time we've seen it.
You
and
really
yet,
think Diesel watched a preseason NFL game?
No, I was talking about last year. I was talking about year
all right,
one.
All right. Okay.
I was talking about year one when they introed the kickoff. Let's put it this way. If you watched the preseason game last night, I'm willing to bet nobody listening to the show last night had a comment about kickoff rules. Why? Because it just went, all right, that's what we do. Like, that's part of the game now. The same will be true with the Hawkeye Tech. It will be like week three when we fully ingratiate it. It'll be like week three. And when it happens, everybody will go, all right, I got 15 more seconds
we'll
to go
see.
Get a beer.
We'll see. Will this be what you think? Will this be the norm? And if it is, there's no use to complain about it once it is implemented and is a rule for years. Or will this be like the pass interference calls that could be reviewed?
So
will this be that? Because the NFL will throw things in there and for a year, and sometimes take them away. We've seen them do that.
The question mark to me is, and that's fair, that's a good question, but the question mark to me is this. Would you rather have the chain gang in a subjective spot from the ref, which is probably going to be a wrong more than it's right, but hey, drama, or would you rather have a system that's going to get it right way more often than it gets it wrong and have teams that earn a first down, get a first down, and teams that earn a stop, get a stop?
In an age of distrust of AI and robots, I'd rather have the chain gang.
Hell yeah. Wrong calls. Big
because,
fan.
Because
big fan.
AI lies and they want to kill us all.
Can't wait until the chefs learn a game, lose a game because Rasheed gets stuffed right around the line and Zoe thinks he got it, but the refs go, no, no, no. Chain gang.
You know,
say he got
that
it.
That will be awesome because he will actually be playing and I can't wait to see that.
Glass half full. I liked it. When we come back, Notre Dame's athletic director has spoken out about the college football playoff bracket model, and he's taken a side, and you definitely will guess which side he's taken. I'll tell you next on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar, Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar, Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you. Let's talk some college football here for just uno momento. The college football playoffs are expanding to 16 teams. That is an inevitability. The question mark is very simply, what format are we going to use to determine which 16 teams are going to get in? And right now, there's only two options on the table. Option A, which is the option the Southeastern Conference has been promoting, is the 5+11 model. The 5+11 model being the five highest conference champions and then the next highest 11 teams. Then there's the model that the Big Ten is promoting. The Big Ten is promoting the 4-4-2-2 plus model. That would be four AQs from the SEC, four AQs from the Big Ten, two AQs from the ACC, two AQs from the Big 12, one AQ, the highest ranked group of six team, and then three at-large selections. There are no other models that are on the table, primarily because the power of selection is in the hands of the two conferences that have all the money, the SEC and the Big Ten. And as I've said a few times, I do think there is more power with the SEC than the Big Ten. The Big Ten is going to have to win over other conferences. There was a question that was posed during ACC media days. In fact, I was on the BetMGM network live from ACC media days, and I was talking with Ryan Horvat about it. And Horvy, who is a Notre Dame guy, so not in the ACC, but ACC adjacent, Horvat said, I listened to Jim Phillips, the commissioner of the conference. I listened to his speech today. I really wish he would have taken a stance on the format. And I gave my theory to Horvat. I gave it to y'all from ACC Media Days. My theory is this. Jim Phillips has one job. What is that one job? Whatever he can do to make the ACC better. Right now, what the ACC is striving for is survivability. How do we exist? We know that at some point, probably 2031, but potentially closer. And after the report dropped earlier this week that North Carolina has already been pushing to join the Southeastern Conference, and you will notice that unlike in the last couple of months, when there has been conversation about other schools potentially being interested, in more recent months gone by, Greg Sankey has a number of times said, yeah, we're not talking about that right now. Like, that's not something we're thinking about. We are where we are. It's going to be a minute. He has not done that since the report that UNC has somewhere landed between they've had discussions about joining the Southeastern Conference and they've had discussions with the Southeastern Conference about joining the Southeastern Conference. Sankey hasn't addressed it that I am aware of yet. And I imagine that he will because that's going to be front page sports news when it happens. But we all know that sometime between now and 2031, Clemson's gone, Florida State's gone. If this report is accurate, now we can add North Carolina to the list of teams that are gone. I believe Miami is gone. If North Carolina is gone, it is more than likely that Duke is gone and going wherever they are going to keep that rivalry, the best rivalry in college basketball, alive. The ACC has bought themselves time. How much exactly, we don't know. But that was my belief about the settlement between the ACC and Clemson, ACC and Florida State. Was those two teams wanted to ensure that when they leave, They could take their TV rights with them. And if that means that they needed to wait another 2 or 3 years, cool, that's the compromise. And the ACC, knowing that those schools were going to leave at some point, needed to buy themselves some time to figure out what the hell they're going to do to stay afloat. Now, by giving Clemson and Florida State their television rights when they exit, they also likely pushed back the exit to 2031. That's the compromise. So, I do think that that helped grant the Southeastern Conference a little bit of power, because I do think that the SEC is likely going to get their choice of the 5, maybe 6 schools in the ACC that are going to leave and be split between the Big Ten and the SEC. And I believe that they are likely going to end up, and I'm not worried about this now, because again, I do think we're going to be closer to 2031 when this conversation becomes a thing. I think Clemson's headed to the SEC. I think Florida State's headed to the Big Ten. But whatever, put that to bed for right now. The power right now rests with the Southeastern Conference. And I think the reason Jim Phillips didn't say anything is because Jim Phillips understands that's a bargaining chip for him. To put the Atlantic Coast Conference into the corner of one of the two player conferences or the other gives that argument not a ton, but a little bit more weight. And Jim Phillips can basically work the conversation with both Sankey and Petitti and say, hey, look, if you will give us X in concessions or benefits or whatever, then we'll put our weight behind your plan. Notre Dame, obviously, as a team that is not, and let's just kill this bit of the conversation before somebody texts it. Guys, they're never joining a conference, okay? I don't know how many times I heard at ACC Media Days, people in the business say, well, you know, all this would be a heck of a lot easier if Notre Dame would just join a conference. They're not going to. They have no reason or incentive to do so. Put that to bed. However, Notre Dame has obviously been granted over the years quite a bit of power. Not as much as the Southeastern Conference or Big Ten have in the game, but I do think Notre Dame, honestly, probably has as much, if not more, power at the table than the ACC and the Big 12 do right now. So when Pete Bavakwa, the athletic director at Notre Dame, speaks, it matters. Well, as the Big Ten continues to push for the AQ model, the 4-4-2-2 plus model, and as Greg Sankey continues to push for the 5-plus-11 model, we've kind of wondered, well, a lot of people have kind of wondered where Notre Dame was going to end up in this. There, to me, was no question where Notre Dame was going to land, whose side Notre Dame was going to end up on. It has been my assumption, that Notre Dame was going to back the SEC's model, not the Big Ten's. Well, that's exactly the case. In an article with Pete Sampson of The Athletic, Pete Bavakwa said, quote, I happen to think that there should be automatic qualifiers for the Power Four conference champions, and there should be an automatic qualifier for the highest rated G5 champion. But then, whether it's 12, 14, or 16, I think you have to earn it on the field, and those should be at-large berths. I think that's the best way, the most repeatable way, to get the very best teams to compete for a national championship year in and year out, and I think most people agree with that. Both the decision makers, the general public, football fans, I think that's what people want to say. Southeastern Conference model. More at-large bids. And I was on Reddit yesterday. Let's just call it. I was on Reddit yesterday. They have a college football subreddit that has some 4.5 million people active on it. And there were a lot of people that were in the comment section about this article, this interview with The Athletic, there were a lot of people in the comment section that were like, why this plan? It's really simple. Notre Dame's not at a conference, which means if you go with the 4-4-2-2-1-3 model, Notre Dame cannot have 4 plus 4 is 8, plus 2 is 10, plus 2 is 12, plus 1 is 13. This is what I've said the whole time. In that model, 13 of 16 spots can only be won by teams inside of the conferences, the power conferences. Notre Dame's not one of them. There are three spots Notre Dame is eligible for under that model, one of three spots in the college football playoffs. Under the Southeastern Conference model, Notre Dame, who cannot win a conference championship, and that means in the SEC's model, is only locked out of five spots. That means that, and I'm bad at math, but that's the 11 spots, the plus 11. That means that Notre Dame is eligible for one of 11 spots. And again, bad at numbers. But if system over here says there are three spots that you are eligible for, and system over here says there are 11 spots that you are eligible for, I'm dumb, but I got to say I'm going to go with the system that gives me one of 11 spots I can get into, right? So I don't know how anybody or why anybody was shocked by that. I think Notre Dame benefit. I don't think. This isn't a statement. This isn't a thought. This isn't a hypothesis. Notre Dame is definitionally better served to support the SEC. There is a reason that Pete Bavakwa, and remember, Notre Dame has its own media day because, again, not at a conference. Pete Bavakwa was not going to speak out until all of, that's the other benefit they have by being Notre Dame. They can afford, because their voice matters, but because they are not obligated to show up and voice their thoughts at a conference media days, like Greg Sankey and all his coaches, like Jim Phillips and all his coaches, like Tony Petitti and all his coaches. Notre Dame can wait until everybody has thrown their opinions and their thoughts and their plans and their formats out there, and Notre Dame can have Pete Bavakwa and the decision makers in South Bend, Indiana, sit in a private closed boardroom and analyze numbers and do public opinion surveys or whatever they got to do. Send out MailChimp surveys, whatever it is they do. They can sit back in their locker room. They can figure out what's best for Notre Dame, and then they can be the last ones to speak. And their voice holds sway, much like Jim Phillips and Greg Sankey's and Tony Petitti's. Their voice holds sway. I would say it holds less sway than Petitti and Sankey, but as much, if not more sway, than Jim Phillips does. So I am telling you now, I am comfortable with saying this. I think you are ultimately going to get the compromise, and I think we will get it before December. Remember, they have until December 1st to decide on what the format's going to be. By December, you are going to end up with the compromise from Greg Sankey that the SEC will, as the Big Ten does, play nine conference games. But in return, they will get their 5 plus 11 model. And ultimately, I think that Jim Phillips will now throw his weight behind the SEC to push that because Pete Bavakwa and Notre Dame have done that. The SEC just picked up a big ally in their quest for the 5 plus 11. The question mark is Notre Dame a big enough ally that it'll get Greg Sankey his way without the SEC having to go to a nine conference game schedule, which they do not want to do. We're going to talk more about this in the next hour of the show.
They're going to try to strong arm Tony Petitti.
I don't think they're going to try to strong arm him. I think they've already got him all but pinned to the table, Stallone style. And the Notre Dame endorsement is just Pete Bavakwa coming over and like putting a finger down on Sankey's hand, helping push Petitti away.
You don't strong arm Petitti. You know what I'm saying?
What's that arm wrestling movie called again?
Over the Top.
That's the one. They're getting over the topped. You all are about to be taken over the top in audio pleasure with Lonzo Sports Flash. Oh, that was a good one. I like that one.
I didn't. Our first NFL score of the 2025 season is in, with the Chargers knocking off the Lions in the Hall of Fame game 34-7. Former third overall draft pick Trey Lance was a standout, going 13-20 for 120 yards and two touchdowns for the Chargers before being replaced by former Clemson Tiger quarterback DJ Uiagalelei, who went 2-3 for 25 yards, finished the game. The Chargers defense ended the night with three picks and two fumble recoveries. Washington Commanders wide receiver Terry McLaurin, who's been requesting an extension from the team for weeks, has now requested a trade. McLaurin has 1 year remaining on a three-year, $68 million extension signed in 2022. And the Atlanta Braves won a 12-11, 10-inning thriller over the Reds yesterday afternoon. Carlos Carrasco got his first start for Atlanta, giving up seven hits and three earned runs in six innings, striking out five. Atlanta had 13 hits on the night. That's pretty good.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Dive into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements.
Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Avatar Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Prince Zuko.
Each week, we'll explore a new episode of The Legend of Korra.
Find your balance as we uncover breaking news, trivia, special guests, and so much more.
I mean, I've got some flameo hot takes that'll really light a spark. Follow and listen to Avatar: Braving the Elements on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.